Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, where we take a journey around the world learning about social etiquette and traditions. Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is from Vietnam. Phung,
hi.
Going to tell us a little bit about your culture and traditions?
Sure.
Excellent, thank you very much. So you've been in Malta a few years now.
Yeah, I live in Malta around like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're finding it a little different to home, I would imagine.
Actually, it's not different to much because about the weather, about the people, the country, I thought it's similar to my country.
Okay, yeah. But what about the food, the differences in the food? Because Vietnamese food is amazing. Not that Maltese isn't, but you know, Vietnamese food, you have all those lovely spices. And
yeah, we love spices, but we love like healthy food. For example, like we use more vegetable or less oil in our food. Not like in Malta, you know. Yeah. We have pizza, pasta, cheese.
Yeah, all good things as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
So are there things that you miss particularly from Vietnam, or you make everything yourself anyway, so you don't really miss anything?
Actually, it's my mom is a chef for the wedding, and her food is really good. I love her, and I love her food. And that's why I told her that, Mom, this may do something, so I can feel better, you know.
Aww.
But yeah, when I stay a mother, yeah, that's why she teaches me to cook like some special food, and especially the food I love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know spring roll?
I love them, yes.
It's one of my favorite, it's different a little with Chinese spring roll, but I guess it's better.
I think we should have a competition. Maybe we can have a competition.
Yeah.
So does food signify anything? So you were saying about a wedding, do you have different dishes that mean something? They mean you're from a particular part of the country or a particular standing in the community? Does food have that kind of meaning? Like if you serve fish, you're giving a message to the guests at the wedding. Is there anything like that in Vietnam?
Actually, in the wedding, no.
Okay.
But when we prepare fruit for the altar,
yeah,
it's totally different because it's have meaning. For example, with the fruit, we have some kind of fruit mean lucky.
Okay.
Or happiness.
Ah.
Yeah.
And so you put different, do you do the carvings as well, or is it just the fruit is prepared for the altar?
Yeah, but because we have like the basic food like for on the wedding, or like chicken, seafood, salad.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
But at the altar, so does that change with different ceremonies? So perhaps when a christening or something like that, there's different food on the altar?
No, it's the same.
It's always the same.
Yeah, but in general, in the food, in the all the parties are the same.
Okay.
Yeah, only different in the leader, but the basis one.
So what sort of fruits signify different things? What signifies luck? Because we all want some of that.
First, red color.
Okay.
Yes.
So anything red?
Yes.
Huh.
And the second, papaya.
Okay, papaya.
Papaya is in Vietnamese name, it means do.
Okay.
It means enough. It means that like you will have enough of everything in your life.
By love and luck and happiness and whatever else you want.
Yes, even money. Yeah.
So papaya is a good one for us to have.
Yeah.
Okay. So for a wedding, you would have a normal, simple meal, you said, some chicken, some fish, some seafood, salads, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a particular cake, or is there biscuits or something that gets shared at the end of the ceremony?
Yes, actually, we have like one traditional cake for the wedding. We call that like Suse or Fute.
Okay.
Yeah. It means that like Fute is mean like husband and wife.
Oh.
Yes.
And so what's the cake made of?
It's made of like, first it's like, include two parts. The first one is like the jelly cake outside.
Mm-hmm.
And inside with a crush of green bean.
Okay.
Yes, with sugar or honey. Yeah.
And so it's nice and sticky and sweet.
Yeah, sticky and sweet.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's meaning it's like the husband and wife is mean all the way stick together.
Oh, that's a really nice idea, isn't it? Oh, I really like that. And what colour is it? Just so like we can imagine what it would look like.
As I know, it's like I have the two main color is the green and red, but we prefer the red one because
The red is the good luck.
Yeah, it's a good luck. Yeah, and the point is like we prefer the number 9.
9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because as you know, that 9 is mean like it's mean longevity.
Oh, longevity. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So number 9.
Yes, number 4.
Okay. Yes. And so. Would you have 9 of the red cakes or something like that then, or why would the 9 come into?
Yeah, 9 because we try. For example, like with the under, we always try to have for example, like 9 cake or 9 cup of wine.
Okay.
Yeah, or
9 glasses of wine at one wedding. Each
orange. Yes.
So at these weddings where there are 9 glasses of wine, then do you have a lot of dancing afterwards? Is it a ceremony in the morning and then the meal and then?
No, actually, because like I really love the wedding in Manda. But the wedding in Vietnam where they set up the table and one table around like 6 or 9 or 10 people. Mm-hmm. And they will serve food on the table. Yeah. And the bride and the groom have to go around and serve wine for the people, and say cheer with all of them. Yeah, and this means you see like one wedding around like 300 people.
Okay, so that's 300 cheers.
300 cheers.
You don't have to take a sip with every cheers. Wow.
That's why, and I hope that's like, because I hope that the groom is not like, how I say, it's like
too thirsty.
Yeah, it's still alive after that.
I see. For the wedding night.
Yeah.
So you go around the room after the, so you've had the ceremony, you have this sit down meal, the couple goes around and toasts each person, and then what happens? You get down to sit and eat, the bride and groom get to sit down?
No? I do not think so. I do not think that they have time.
Ah.
Yeah, because of course, I guess if they cannot wait, you're like, 2 or 3 or 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, you had to try like go around quickly.
And then you start the dancing and photographs, or is there?
No, we do not have a dancing. Mm. Yes, but I have photograph at the beginning. Yes, and firstly with the family, and then with a friend, and all the visitor, all the guests.
Okay.
Yeah, and after that, maybe with a close friend or some relative, we can go out and go to karaoke.
Oh,
you love karaoke?
I love karaoke. I'm terrible, but I love karaoke. So there's only one in Malta, I think. Is there?
I found some in Butchervind and in Buzibar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you go often then to practice your skills? Must be a big thing, I guess, for tourists, but as well, you go and sing?
Yeah.
I'm going to come.
Maybe we'll make up. One day, make a band together. Yes.
So then you would go off and do an evening of karaoke after your wedding with your gown and everything, with your dress.
No, they would change.
They would change.
Yes, they would change.
Would you wear something specific to your wedding?
Yeah, actually, it's like they wear a traditional dress in Getsuman.
Okay.
Yeah, we call that aozai. Yeah, it's made like long dress. It's similar like Chinese dress before. It seems similar, different.
So, did you have a particular color as well for a wedding?
Yeah, actually, it's not a particular color because now, before, we prefer a red color as on you. But now,
anything.
It's any color, yes, because you know, the young people, they will choose like, the color is suitable with them. And sometimes they will use a Western style with a black pant and a white shirt.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you were a guest at a wedding, would you wear red to that wedding, or is that you would still stay away from red because the bride may turn up in red?
We prefer red, but it's like with the other colors, like pink, yellow is mean gold, and blue, green,
So this is for the guests to wear?
For the guests to wear. For example, like, we try to avoid black color because with us, black color is mean like bad luck. Or black color is only for funeral.
I agree with you, I think.
Yes.
I don't like the idea of black at weddings.
That's
navy blue if you have to. But
so,
Okay. And you said the groom wears trousers and a shirt?
Yeah.
I'm guessing the temperature is quite hot all year round, so that's a factor.
Because the wedding season in Vietnam is around from September to December.
So everybody gets married within that time?
Yeah.
Wow. Is there a reason, or just the weather, or just traditionally?
I think traditionally, because I don't know why, this question, why Imanda own the wedding in summer?
Yeah, okay. Okay. I'm just wondering, if all the weddings are September to December, does that mean all the babies are born the following September to December?
I hope so, because you know that the groom, he will drink a lot of wine. And yeah, so I hope so.
So talking of babies being born, are there particular traditions around the birth of a child? I'm guessing there's more red involved. Are there more, do you get like lucky envelopes or lucky symbols for a child?
Yeah. I don't know, but in my families, we prefer to give the silver stuff.
Okay.
Like bracelet or necklace.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think that with the silver, like to have the child to prevent the sickness.
Oh, I see. So silver prevents sickness.
Yeah, because as you know, that's like with the silver,
mm-hmm.
you can check how a poison in or not. You can check the poison or not. Yeah, let's check. For example, like you put a silver inside of one poison,
mm-hmm.
water, and you see like the silver change color to black.
Okay.
I
should hope no one's giving me poison. So the spoon would never go black.
So it's all thinking. It's all thinking.
So silver for a child, like I said, bracelets, necklaces, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course we also give the needful stuff, like clothes, mm-hmm. toys, and money. Yeah.
That thing babies the best really need. Yes. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Phuong from Vietnam. And so once a child goes to school, are there any other ceremonies or anything? Or are they, you know, maybe when they're 8 or 12, or is there different ages that mean anything?
No, just go, because I understand what you mean, because for example, with the Christians, they will have like some ceremony,
mm-hmm.
For the children, but in Vietnam actually is I think around like 70 or 80%. We have no religion.
No yeah. religion at all.
Yeah, no religion at all. Even like we have altar,
mm-hmm.
and we go to pagoda, but it's not mean that we following Buddhism. Yes, and that's why with the children, we only have exactly 1 month old.
Mm-hmm.
With this, in this day, we introduce the baby with everyone. Yes,
the family, the
relative, uh-huh. and the friends.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and in this day, we will give like some like gift for them, like the one like simple stuff I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I do not know, but in my family, we only do like the normal party. That's mm-hmm. one, but in some areas in Vietnam. They will leave some stuff for the children, and the children will pick up one of these stuff, and this stuff can be their future career.
A bit like the chia that they do in Malta on the first birthday.
They
put like a wooden spoon or a clock or a pen or something like that.
Yeah.
And like they have the same thing.
That's what I told you at the beginning. We have like, I found a similar culture.
Very, it's the first time I've heard it. It's from somewhere as far away as Vietnam to Malta. It's quite strange to have a similar
different
ceremony.
Continent.
Yes, yeah. Very, very strange. I have to look back at the links. Because literally, we've talked to people from around the world, and it's the first time it's come up, so it's quite incredible. Thank you.
Okay.
So that's the first birthday, and then you said there's no sort of communions or anything like that, or anything else because of the no religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens when you're 16, 18, finishing school?
No.
No? No big parties?
No.
Huh. That's not fair.
No. Yeah, maybe because I my family is traditional families, so that's why. For example, I have how you say, limit time or like the strict time, how you say, it's mean I have to go home before 10. And I have to inform my parent or my grandparent where I go, go with who.
So, at what point are you not under that sort of control then? Is that sort of when you leave home when you get married? Mm-hmm. Would you normally only leave home to get married? Or would you maybe leave home at 21, you do your own thing, and then you get married afterwards?
In the traditional way, we cannot, in traditional way, we cannot live with, like, boyfriend before getting married.
Right.
Yes. And, but nowadays, you know, young people...
It's changing, and there's so much influence from everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like the people... perspective is changed too, so
you don't want the whole world to change beyond identity, but there are some things that I think we all need to open our eyes a little to make people a bit happier in some cases, not always, sometimes it goes wrong. so then we go off, and then you would get engaged for a long period before you get married. You don't have an engagement in...
No, we have
someone.
Engagement. Before, it's normally like the half of the year before wedding. But now I think they combine with engagement and wedding in the same day.
Oh.
For example, not in Manta, you know, Manta's small island. And for example, like, I live in the north, and I married with a guy from the south, and... You know, it's like normally with the flight, we spend around 2 hours from the north to the south.
Okay.
And of course, you cannot bring all the family from the north to the south. That's why we try to do only in one time.
Do the one ceremony.
Yes, ceremony.
I think you miss out on some presents if you do it in the same day, though, don't you? Yes.
The point is like one interesting thing in engagement is like the... Before engagement day, like the family, the two families meet together, and then the bride family will require gift.
Okay.
Yeah. And
for the bride or for?
For the bride.
Okay.
For the bride family.
Ah.
Exactly.
Okay. That sounds like a good arrangement. Yes.
Yeah, and it depends on like. It depends on the family, but in general, it's like they will order at least 5 trays of gift, and gift here is mean like cake, fruit, cigarette, even like one roasted pork.
Ooh,
sticky rice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So all generally sort of food gifts apart from the cigarettes.
Because it's the bride family is not keep on for themselves. When you give like the invitation letter, you have to include the gift.
So we
share the gift with them. That's why.
And so you were saying earlier that you would have about 300 people at the wedding. Is that just people from the village?
300 including two families.
So big families in general?
Yeah.
Okay. And then people from the village, friends?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So quite some pork and cigarettes to go around. I think.
Yeah. Actually, I don't like too much about this offer, because you know why a lot of the couples, they are not rich.
Mm.
Yeah, they are in the even like the under medium family. Mm-hmm. So, for example, with the like a bright family, they try to show that they have a good groom.
So they will
require more, for example, a big amount of money, or not 5 trays, even like 7 or 9 trays.
Of different things,
I see. Yeah, with different things.
To show, to prove his worth to the family.
Yeah,
I see. Yeah. Bit strenuous to start off a wedding. And then after that, the couple go off and live together and have their own rules for their own children.
Yep.
So you're a newly married couple. Do you then invite people to your home to eat, or do you go out? Is it mostly you have family to your house and you have friends you meet out? How does it work socially?
with some couples, if they have money or they have a good budget, they will have their own house, apartment.
Mm-hmm.
If not, they have to live with their groom family. And you know that the relationship between like the mother of groom,
yes,
and the
bride, mother-in-law,
uh-huh, yes,
can be a little bit strenuous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now we have like a movie about this one. And when I read the comments, and all the women or all the girls, they said that, oh, they are so scared. After watching this movie, they do not want to marry.
It's almost they could use this movie as contraceptive.
Yeah. But normally women invite the day after the wedding because the groom had to take the bride back to her house to visit her family. Yeah.
And then
after that, like, we can have like a small party for like between like family together, and another party between like friends together and the co-workers.
Okay.
Yes.
So you actually do get quite a lot of parties out of it.
Yeah.
As well as the wedding itself.
Yeah.
And so that would you you're saying if you're living with your husband's family, would you then cook separately, or does the family cook together and you, is it like one kitchen type thing with one set of food constantly coming out, I imagine, because the amount of time it takes to prepare Vietnamese food, although I do chop quite slowly, I'm sure when you really know what you're doing, it's a bit quicker for you.
It depends, actually it depends on, because some like, not a lot of like the mother-in-laws, they have like open mind. But this one, they permit like the couple can have their own areas like include the kitchen, mm-hmm, and everything. So, but some they still keep like old traditional thinking mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Like they require, for example, like the woman after marriage, even you have a job, you still have like to prepare the food, clean the house, and do all the house stuff, yeah.
And are the men sort of let off of those things, and they go to work and they come home and they get fed? Is it that sort of tradition?
Yeah, because I think that like on the housework is a like woman, mm-hmm, job, and the men have to go out, do like something bigger, like earn money.
And so when you have children within this sort of environment as well, would it be then that, you know, at least all living together,
mm-hmm,
you have babysitters because you have Nana close by and everything?
Yeah.
So there is a sort of benefit in the sense that you have the children are looked after and you have that family environment for them to be brought up in. So that works okay normally?
Yeah, normally it's like we would ask like the mothers. I have heard about this one.
So you would normally, I'm just thinking, would you not change? Your husband would probably come from the same village or a different village?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you wouldn't change from North Vietnam to South Vietnam. You wouldn't change that far. You wouldn't, you know, that would be a massive change of life, I would imagine. A big cultural...
Actually, it's like the contrast between the North and the South is totally different.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, because like, as I always talk with everyone, that's like, in the North we have like, how to say, we have traditional mentality than the people in the South.
Okay.
Yeah.
The South more westernized?
More western life, because I think they, it's effect from the American war before, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
So they have that influence and a different way of thinking. So is there like an aspiration from the people in the South to be more like the North and the North to be more like the South? Because normally if you live a Western life, you want a traditional, and if you live a traditional, you want a, you know, a Western. It's very separate and everyone's happy? Or it would be, you would be trying to move away from...
No, I do not think so, because like... A lot of people told me that it's like they feel different when they move from the North to the South, or mm-hmm, from the South to the North. But I think that like it depends on the people mentality. Because when I go to the South, I feel like it's great. They have, like, how to say, free life.
Okay.
Down in the north. Yeah, they do not be bored. How to say, like...
Cocooned in the traditions.
Yeah, tradition or something. And they have open mind.
Mm.
Yeah. But the people character, you know...
Completely different.
It's completely... not totally different, it's like similar.
Mm-hmm.
Even like when I fought here, in Manda, yeah, it's similar. Because if you find a similar culture, so you will see like similar thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you find a lot of Vietnamese people in Malta?
I do not think that it's a lot. I think it's around like 30 people. Yeah, around.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, but I do not know one.
No, I just wanted to give you sort of can have, you know, gatherings and get-togethers.
Yeah, because for example, like with Chinese people, they have big numbers of people here. I think around like 1,000 or 10,000. Yeah, that's why. But we only have 30. And for example, like a few days ago, my coworker, she told me that like, hey, yesterday I go to the gym club and I found one Vietnamese student. I said, really? Because you believe that's like, I'm sure that's like Manda is not too much, not too many people like in Vietnam know about the Manda. And now I know that one student
has come.
Yeah, comes.
You'll get some more.
Yeah.
No, because I know a lot of people actually visit Vietnam and actually Cambodia. They normally do this twin holiday. A lot of Maltese people seem to go in sort of January and February. So I'm just wondering if the same is happening, that they're starting to hear about Malta, and they say it's not much different, so they will come along and share some more tradition. So, you've been listening to The Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week, Phong, from Vietnam.
Vietnam, yes.
So thank you very much. It's been really interesting to talk to you, and I really want to try one of these wedding cakes now.
Thank you for joining us on our journey around the world on the Good Manners Map here on Campus FM with myself, Monique Chambers, and the technicians, Carmelo and Samuel. You can hear this programme on Mondays at 1:30 p.m, Thursdays at 9:30 a.m, and again on Fridays at 8 p.m. You can also download as a webcast from multiuniversitybroadcasting.com.